Hey, good morning, everyone. This is the Pillaged Pastor, and welcome to another episode of the Pillaged Pastor. From the Pillaged to the Pillaged, we're picking back up in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. So grab a cup of coffee, cup of tea, and join me. So over the weekend, my daughter arrives home from college, and she's had her car parked, and we went to start it, and it's a no-go. Matter of fact, we couldn't even get in it. She had thrown her keys inside the car, shut it, and it has that little, you know, the keypad lock mechanism, and she thought she was good to go. And so we went out there, though, and punched in the code for her car. Her car wouldn't unlock, so battery's dead. Keys are locked inside. Call the tow truck, AAA. They get out there and they get into the car. We've got the keys. We latch the hood and digging in there, find out the battery is dead. It's like 4 months old, but it's been sitting in the freezing cold. Didn't start it up over the winter. And so I pull that battery out. I take it down to O'Reilly's. Those good old boys down there. Popped it on the counter, and I was like, this bad boy's got a 2-year warranty. And they're like, well, you've done this before, right? So you actually brought in a battery before and replaced it with this battery. This is the replacement. I'm like, yeah, the other one, it did the same thing to me. These things like die in the winter and they're not cheap. And they're like, well, sorry, man, the first battery that you bought had a 2-year warranty. And when you brought that one and traded it in, you only had a few months left of that warranty. And that was applied to the brand new battery, the replacement battery that you took home. And now you're bringing that in. So you're out of luck. This battery has no warranty. I'm like, you got to be kidding. It's 4 months old. Like, you got to be kidding. This is why didn't anybody tell me that this didn't have a warranty, you know, because I knew there's going to be another chance. It was going to die. I mean, we live in a cold place. How would they not get this by now? So I was pretty frustrated. I picked back up that battery, and I felt like I was, as I carried that battery out of O'Reilly's, out of that store, just felt like I was carrying a little dead puppy. That's what I felt like. I was carrying a little dead puppy wrapped up in a swaddling cloth and just walking out the door, just completely defeated, without any hope, without any power, and never going to go to that source for power again, I tell you what. And leads me to say this is, man, losing power is not a good thing. And Jesus has been talking to us about power, having power, right? To be pumped up in life. And you and I will go from place to place looking for that power, looking for that motivation, looking for that purpose in life. And sometimes where we go looking for that power is extremely disappointing. See, these guys, the battery was so dead, they couldn't even recharge it. Man, you promised you'd be able to replace it. You promised my battery could recharge. No, sorry, you're out of luck. This battery is not going to recharge. It is dead, and we cannot promise you any more power. They promised so much and delivered so little. And it's like that with the world. It's not like that with God. Man, when he promises something, he delivers it. When he promises power, he delivers power. And what? You can always be, you lose your charge. You lose your fire for God. You lose your zest for life. You lose your purpose. Well, in a relationship with God, you can always be charged up. And you're charged up by the Holy Spirit, who is a person. And so we're continuing in John chapter 16. We're talking about that relationship with the Holy Spirit, the ability after Jesus leaves the earth to continue a relationship with God, to have direct access with God, because of what Jesus has done, and that he continues to be our advocate, and that we can communicate with God by way of the Holy Spirit, and he can communicate with us. I mean, it's a pretty amazing thing. Chapter 16 of the Gospel of John starting in verse 25. I have spoken of these matters, Jesus says, in figures of speech. But soon I will stop speaking figuratively, and I will tell you plainly all about the Father. Then you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf, because we know that Jesus continues to pray for us today. But here he is saying, I'm not saying I'm going to ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you dearly because you love him and believe that I came from God. Yes, I came from the Father into the world, and now I will leave the world and return to the Father. I'm not going to need to ask on your behalf. You're going to be able to talk to God directly, is what Jesus is saying. Verse 29, then his disciples said, at last you're speaking plainly and not figuratively, Jesus. We're getting it. Why? I believe they're being illuminated by the very Spirit of God here. They're starting to be able to comprehend the things of God and understand the things of God. I mean, it's a whole other level. It's a whole other realm. And we need to have the Spirit of God to understand the things of God. Without the Spirit of God, you can't understand the things of God. And Jesus kind of, I mean, that's kind of what we're seeing right here, man. Now we understand that you know everything, these guys say to Jesus, and there's no need to question you. From this, we believe that you came from God. And they're just super stoked. Where it's like, he did, Jesus, you did come from God. And they're excited. And Jesus asked, do you finally believe? But the time's coming, guys. Indeed, it's here now. When you will be scattered, each one going his own way. You might believe in me. You believe that I've come from God, but it's not over. You're going to be scattered and you're going to leave me alone, he says. Yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. And that's a promise that we have today. We could be completely alone out in the middle of nowhere. No one is with us. Nobody is around. He is always with us by way of the Holy Spirit. We always have access to the Father by way of the Son through the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. And again, he's hammering that home. I want you to have peace. I want you to have joy. I want you to have abundant joy. And that is available to me, to you, whenever you're coming to me as the source of that peace, as the source of that joy, as the source of that power. Here on earth, you will have many trials and many sorrows, but take heart. Listen, through it all, okay, I have overcome the world. Remember this. I have overcome the world. You're going to deal with a lot of crud in life, man. You're going to be duped many, many times. But don't you worry. I've overcome the world. Stay close to me. We'll get through this together. That's his promise. Let's take a break and come back to this. So today, as I go through my day, have different experiences in my day, feel defeated perhaps today, at one point or another throughout a day, I mean, you're going to feel a sense of discouragement or defeat. I mean, if you're the type of person that has perfect days, then good for you. Whoop-de-doo. That's amazing. I want to be you. I don't want trials in this life, but I know that when I have trials in this life, I have direct access to God. I can seek that peace. I could seek that comfort. I could seek that joy in those times and that hope in those times, a hope that everything will eventually turn out, that he is with me, that good things will come in my life, that I am being preserved, if you will, for better things. I am being built into the person that God desires for me to be as I surrender to him daily. And that's pretty awesome. But we have hope and access to God by this Spirit, by this one Spirit. If we jump on over to this letter written to the church in Ephesus by the Apostle Paul long, long ago, chapter 2, verse 18, for through him, through Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit, by the Spirit of God. If he is indwelling you, you can approach the throne of God with boldness. not because you are perfect, not because you are sinless, but because Jesus, through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit, because he, Jesus, was sinless, was holy, calls us to be the same. And so no matter what we go through today, you don't have to feel like you are bugging God. You don't have to feel like you are stepping, you know, out of bounds here. You don't have to feel ashamed. And I know that that shame can live, you know, quite vibrantly in the life of so many of us who've botched it up so bad. We feel shameful. But the truth is when we approach the Father, we are welcomed when we have the Holy Spirit. We only have the Holy Spirit because we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the only way to have the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have to have been baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. You have to have looked to Jesus and said, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you are the very Word of God. I believe that you came and you died on the cross for my sins, and I accept that forgiveness. And I believe that you conquered death. Death could not keep you down. You rose from the grave, and you appeared to many. You ascended to the right hand of the Father, where you are praying for me and advocating for me today. And someday, you're going to come back, Jesus. I don't get all this stuff. I don't understand all this stuff. A lot of this stuff can be really confusing to me, but I know one thing, as I need forgiveness and I need this abundant life and this abundant joy that you're talking about. And so I want it. I give up on doing this thing my way. I give up on going after power and sources that don't deliver. I give up on going down to O'Reilly's for my battery. I'm going to come to you for my power. All right, because I've gone here, I've gone there, I've gone to all these different sources, tried all these different ways of being happy, and they have not delivered. I still feel a deep emptiness in my life. There's something missing that can only be found in that relationship with you. That's the place that we need to be today. That's the place that we need to be today. You need to be at a place of complete surrender if you want to know and have the fullness of the Spirit of God. And it is yours, man. Anybody who calls upon the Son, anybody who comes to him will not be driven away. He will never drive them away. I mean, that's pretty powerful. That's pretty awesome. It's for us today. And so believe it and don't stray, right? You and I need God's presence and his power in our life. And you and I need to have confidence that this is available to us. We need to have confidence that God is truly with us, that he will never leave us. And so, you know, in closing out our time together, wanted to read a few verses to you in regards to that. These promises of God's continued presence in the lives of those who put their faith in him, their trust in him. God's people have never been, never will be perfect people, not until at least we're out of this body and present with the Lord. I mean, that's when we're truly going to be delivered from death, from temptation, all of these things. But we have to understand these three things and take them with us into our day today, until we get to that place. Hebrews 13:5 says this, "For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. See, God is with us in our day, in times of trouble, in good times, when things feel like they're going great. He knows what's right around the corner, even when we do not. He knows what we're going to go through, what we will have to endure next. He knows what the highlights are yet to be in our life and those low points in our life. Nothing will catch him off guard. He is going to be with us through it all. You will never do anything that surprises him and scares him off. Is that pretty cool? Because if he knows the future, he also knows the ways that you are going to succeed and the ways that you will fail. And yet he promises to never leave you and never forsake you. The second verse I want to bring you to is Isaiah 43:2, and it was a promise to God's people then, the Hebrew people, the Israelites, long ago, 700 years before Jesus comes on the scene. Isaiah writes this: when you pass through waters, I'm going to be with you. Through rivers, they shall not overcome you. You're not going to drown in the chaos of life. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. I mean, whatever you see in this life, whatever you go through, you are not going to be consumed. You are not going to be overwhelmed. You will not be overpowered. You might think that you are, but he's with you. And you can rest assured that he is, if you're in a surrendered place, man, you know, God is not going to leave you. I mean, let's say this, okay? I catch myself there. In a surrendered place, God is not going to leave you. I'm going to tell you this, is I have been very, very unsurrendered, not surrendered, and God didn't leave me. He didn't give up hope on me. He didn't give up on me. He was always there coming after me. And so it's not about how good you are. It's about him never losing faith, him always being true, staying true to his promises, always being faithful, right? If he makes a promise, he doesn't back out on it just because he gets upset, just because like, oh my gosh, they really let me down. I'm leaving now. No, God does not do that to us. We will endure consequences of bad choices, without a doubt, but he's going to be there for us. He's always waiting for us to come to him. He's always ready to receive us. He really is. And when he receives us, we can look to him as our refuge, our strength or power, as we've been talking about. A very present help in trouble, as Psalm 46:1 says. He is our refuge. We can run to him even when we have in the past run away from him. At any point, you can run toward God, and he will be your refuge and give you the strength that you need in a very present help in times of trouble. The third verse I want to share with you in reality, Matthew 28:20. So here's Jesus saying, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So he's communicating. Remember, Jesus only said what he heard from the Father. He only did what he saw the Father doing. He and the Father were one. So the same God, this is the same God that communicated to the Israelites. This is the same God who spoke through the prophets. Jesus is the very Word of God that has been clothed in human flesh and came and dwelt among us and showed people, his disciples, his glory, and shows his glory to anyone who turns to him today. He says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Don't worry about it. I've got you covered. You know what? He was telling this. Remember, he understood and he saw how when he went to the cross, his disciples scattered. They took off. Peter denies him, you know? And he still is like, I'm still with you, Peter. I mean, you guys are going to continue to botch it up. I'm still going to be with you. I will always be with you to the very end of the age. I love you. I will hold to my promises. You can rest assured I will keep my promises, right? Now strive to keep my commands in this day. I'm with you always. This is the Pillage Pastor. Grace come down for such a sinner as I and for such a sinner as you.